as a story of Mantle. Teacher said, well, it's real easy, Mantle. You just kind of ask them an obvious question, and if they hesitate, the most obvious questions, then you know if something's wrong on the inside. So, well, like what? Like what? He said, well, you know, like Captain Cook, you live in Hawaii, right? So Captain Cook made 3 travels around the world, and on one of those travels, he died. Which one was that?
Well, to find out how Mano answered that question, you'll have to stay tuned. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, part 2 of a message we began yesterday on the life of Rahab. If you are feeling a little down on yourself for the way you've been living your life, take courage. Rahab went from the life of a streetwalker to one from whom a king would descend. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Rahab, Changing Midstream.
You know, when I went to Bible college, I learned how to study the Bible. I learned textual criticism. I learned hermeneutics. I learned how to pick these things apart into Hebrew word studies and Greek word studies. And when I was done, I felt good because I had arrived, because I could study the Bible. I can tell you what's in the Bible. But you know what? When I started doing devotions, everything changed. It's not about me studying the Bible. All of a sudden, the Bible began to study me. In fact, I'd be reading it, and the Lord would say something to a woman caught in adultery, and I would stop and say, Lord, my heart's not like that. I'd rather nail people who I think are unrighteous rather than forgive and problem solve. Lord, I don't see things that way. I'd see something else. Lord, I don't think that way like you think. Lord, I don't act that way. All of a sudden, the Bible began to study me, and that's when the Bible comes alive. Not when I study the Bible. When the Bible studies me. And then my life began to change. Let's read together what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. Go. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. So the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. Isn't that great? Now, reading the Bible and doing devotions will help you to recognize the slippage and the compromise that are starting to get normalized. But it won't stop it. It'll help you recognize it. That's why, would you write in the next bullet, we must pray for guidance daily. Pray for guidance daily. Lord, what do I do? Guide me. Tell me how to break out of this. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane when the disciples became lethargic in their watchfulness. And Jesus says something so interesting to them that will help us immensely. Let's read it together. Go. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you would agree that applies to us? Yeah. Now he says, pray that you might not enter into what? Not sin, but temptation. Now, James chapter 1 talks about there's 2 categories or steps before you actually move into sin. It's temptation, and you can be in this arena of temptation for months, not really jumping into sin, but just toying with it, just entertaining it, just thinking, pondering, considering. In fact, James says it like this. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he's carried away by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is accomplished, it results in death. The wages of sin is death. Now watch these 2 sort of rooms or containers or arenas. I'm carried away by my own, not God's temptation, not the devil, my own lust. And I move into this thing called temptation. Now, if I toy with temptation long enough, it will push me into the next thing called sin, that results in death. Now, a lot of us are here in this world of, arena of, atmosphere of temptation where we're entertaining the sin, but we don't actually enter it. And the Lord is saying, be real careful because you can be in this arena for a long time where you say, well, I don't really want to jump into the rack. I mean, I don't want to sin and lose my family, but whoo, is she good looking or what? Man, I just like to think about her. Whoo. And maybe I just have lunch with her. Yeah, I'm just friends. Just friends. Ooh, yeah, like this. And we start entertaining this. And what God is saying is like there's an invisible membrane. And the Lord is saying, be careful. Pray that you not even enter into what? Temptation. And if I am not keeping my heart open to the Lord, all of a sudden I say, well, I'm not going to sin. That's two blocks away. But I'm going to enter into just, I just want to think about it. So you're just going to, you know, we're into this thing. Oh, I like the feeling. Oh, yeah, just maybe. And we get enamored by the potential of maybe just consider, but I'm not gonna do it. But oh, I like it. I like it. And we can live in this container for months, 6 months. Oh no, I don't jump in the rack with her, but I just it's okay. I just want to think about it. Now the danger of being in this, and some people can be in this for a year. Is that when you're in this temptation mode, you stop changing. Because although you haven't left your family, your heart has. Oh, no, you haven't left your wife, but your heart has. No, you haven't left the church, but your heart is adrift. Oh, you haven't left the family of God, but your heart is in the world. And this dichotomy is going to kill you because it won't be long before it pulls you in to this next one. Now, after 6 months or so, you come to your senses like the prodigal son. Oh, what am I doing? My father's ways are so much better than this. It is then that he pulls himself out, but he lost all that time, all those resources. You know, you can lose a year of your life in that category, in that container. And what God is saying is, I'll save you a lot of time. Listen, pray that you don't even enter into that. Then it keeps your heart in your family, with your spouse, in the Lord. And that's where change takes place. You move into this one here. You're still alive and exist and do everything you used to do, but you'll stop changing because your heart's not there. So do devotions daily. It'll help you to scan when you're compromising. And then as you pray, as the Lord says, that you not even enter into that, it'll save you years and years. And like the prodigal son, here's a second thing that Rahab would say, and that is when you're in this, you gotta, like he said, what am I doing sitting with the pigs? My father treats people better than this. Here it is, number two, not only the first is to watch those compromises early on, but to recognize that God's ways are greater. Recognize that God's ways are greater. Someone once said, Wayne, if you want God's blessings, you got to do it God's way. And Rahab knew that even though she was caught up in a mentality, a lifestyle that she didn't want to be in, she knew that God's ways were better. I know, she said, that the Lord your God is God. In fact, let's read it together. Joshua 2, 10 and 11. Go. I know that the Lord has given you the land. And we have heard of how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Yeah. You see, when you recognize that the way you're living can be so much more improved by doing it God's way, it is the first step of you starting to break out and start to change again. You got to be, because if you think, well, this is good enough, I can just pull this string, that's fine. At that point, if you don't recognize God's ways are better, you just stay and you stop changing. You can go to church a million times, but you won't change. Until you recognize, oh God, your ways are better. Otherwise, you'll think that the way you are is fine. And you'll be blind to it. You'll be completely blind to your own ineptitude. As a story of Manuel, he wanted to be a psychologist. And so he was really cool because he just graduated from his class with D+. And he was real excited. And so he was talking to his teacher. He said, hey, teacher, this is a psychology class. He said, I am going to be counseling people at my church and stuff. And he said, how can you tell when people are like mentally ill, even though on the outside they seem completely normal? But on the inside, they mess up. Teacher said, well, it's real easy, man. You just kind of ask them an obvious question. And if they hesitate, the most obvious question, then you know if something's wrong on the inside. So, well, like what? Like what? He said, well, you know, like Captain Cook. You live in Hawaii, right? So Captain Cook made 3 travels around the world. And on one of those travels, he died. Which one was that? Mano hesitated and he said, well, he said, you know, I'm not real good in history. Ask me another question. See, sometimes we're blind to our own ineptitudes. And if we make normal what shouldn't be, we stop seeing the way out. And even our own problems, you can't even see. You've got to be able to see that God's ways are always better. And that keeps you moving towards His best. You know, I've sat with a lot of people at their deathbed. And I've heard so many people say, you know, Wayne, I wish I would have lived God's ways more. I just wish I would have lived God's ways more. I've never heard the opposite. I've never heard one person say, you know, I lived God's ways and man, I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I would have just kind of left it and did the other, you know, man, I just lived like the way God wanted me to live. I just lived it too much. Not once. But I cannot tell you the amount of people that said, I wish I would have done it God's way sooner. Well, don't wait till the end. As one did, I was talking with her sister. She said, my sister's caught in prostitution. And so I met with her, and she here down in the Waikiki area. And I said, how did you get into all of this? And she said, you know, I didn't see it in the beginning. She said, I'm a good dancer, and I started dancing. And someone asked me if I would dance in one of these exotic nightclubs, and so I did, and they paid me money for it. I thought, well, it's pretty good. So I danced again. They paid me more. And then they offered me a part-time job, so I took it. And then part-time meant more money, and then full-time. And at that time, her sister said, yeah, and that's when I started telling you about God. She said, yeah, but by this time, I was into it too far. That's what she said, into it too far. I couldn't turn back. I said, what do you mean? You need to. She said, no, what else will I do? She took her purse and said, here, she emptied her purse out, little rolled up bills. She said, count them. We counted them, $940. She said, that's what I got last night dancing, tips, $940. She said, that's a slow night. She said, if I stop this, where am I going to get this kind of money? I said, but it's not about just money. It's about a quality of life. Because your life is not quality. Because then it went into drugs. And she started doing cocaine just to get her up high enough so she could dance all night. And one day, I was called to do her funeral because she was on the 27th floor of an apartment. And being high on coke, she thought she could fly. And you look at that and you think, how does that happen? You see, what happens is when you think your life is the only way to live, and that's the only way you can do it, and God's way is just not really out there, it's not an option, you stop changing. And when you stop changing, you start dying. You always have to say, I love what I'm doing, and I know God has something better for me, especially when you're caught in a lifestyle that's less than God's best, and you're starting to normalize it by pulling the string. You need to be able to say, I know God has a better way for me. I know He does. And just the recognition of that will start to pull you out of that slump and you'll start to see it. It happened with Herod. Herod was caught in a lifestyle where he saw Herodias, which is his brother's wife, kind of the same name, but he saw Herodias and he started to get kind of, you know, liking her. He weaseled things around where he causes her to leave her husband, his brother, and they get together. Well, John the Baptist is arrested, and he's in his very palace in the dungeon area. And once in a while, Herod would go down and talk with this guy called John the Baptist. And in fact, the scripture says he enjoyed talking with him because he felt him to be a righteous man. But John the Baptist would say to him, Herod, you got to get out of this lifestyle. God has a better way for you. Well, he enjoyed talking with him, but Herodias, she didn't want to have anything to do with John the Baptist. In fact, she was upset as can be. She was madder than a hornet that he was trying to get her husband to change his lifestyle. Well, one night, Herod was there with his guests, and Herodias' daughter danced, and she must have had a nice exotic dance, and he was so filled with thanks, he said to her, "Man, whatever you want, up to half my kingdom, I'll give to you." Woo, the guests thought, this guy's pretty generous. Herodias then calls her daughter and says, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. I want him to be beheaded." "Really, Mom?" "Yeah, tell him. He said he'll give you anything." So she went over there and said, "I want the head of John the Baptist." And listen to what it says in Matthew 14:9. Would you read it with me? Go. "Although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests." You see, he couldn't break out of that lifestyle. And because he had made an oath and because he wanted to keep face in front of his dinner guests, he allowed it to take place and he regretted it the rest of his life. Never did break out. And so you would hear Rahab saying, "Don't get that way. Be supple enough, be flexible enough. So before your life gets into a crust and a crystallized corrosion, recognize compromise early on. And then recognize that God's ways are always better. And if you have to, would you write down number 3? This is what I did," Rahab said. "Break your ties with the old." Just break your ties with the old. Whatever you need to do. Joseph fled. The prodigal son just turned and went back home. Even though it was seemingly a shame to him, he did, and God honored him as the father embraced him. And I want you to know that if you're caught in a lifestyle, the father himself is waiting to embrace you. Even if you've been a Christian 20 years and you know that you stopped changing for the last 5, you've learned more, but you just haven't changed. I want you to know that the father is waiting to say, "You too, come home." Restore your heart in such a way that there is that transformation, the vibrancy of learning. Break your ties. That's what Rahab did. Let's read together Joshua 6. Go. "Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." There's going to be times you just need to break from the old. A relationship that has been going far too long, you just need to break it. Just break it as fast as you can and get out of there. I remember before I was a Christian, I was going to marry this one girl, and I wasn't a Christian at all. We had been living together, and we had our wedding set, and I knew that it wasn't right. We had been in a lifestyle of drugs and immorality, and it was wrong, wrong, wrong. And I came to know the Lord, and boy, did he nail my heart. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt the way I was going, the direction I was going, was only going to lead to danger and problems. 2 weeks before the wedding, I knew I had to call it off. And I just said to her, "We can't go through with this. This is wrong. Everything is going wrong." And I gave my heart to the Lord, and I said, "I can't go through with this." Well, as you can figure, feathers hit the fan. And things went pretty bleak for a while. But you know, I look back on that this day and to see my family and what God is doing and my dear wife. And I think, "Oh God, I am so glad you gave me the strength to break the ties with the old. Because if it wouldn't have happened, I don't know where I would be today." And you know, Rahab would say to every single one of us, and especially those of you that might be caught in that kind of lifestyle, it can be done, and God's arms are awaiting those who will make that choice. Because if you will fast forward the tape with me to the book of Matthew, and let's read together how God rewards this woman called Rahab the harlot. Let's read the genealogy now. Go. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David the... Do you know that God puts her in the lineage of David the king because of her choice to break ties with the old? And not only that, if you know the lineage of David, who comes out of the lineage of David? Jesus the Messiah. Did you know that what the Lord is saying is, did you know that redemption came through these kinds of people? Redemption comes through people who make a choice to say, I'm not going to get frozen in this kind of religious lifestyle or wrong lifestyle and not change. No, I'm going to be people changing. And God is saying, that's the kind of people that redemption is made out of. That's the stuff that gives the world redemption again, hope again. And we need to be a people that would say, Lord, I understand that I cannot just be religious and learn more and no change. I cannot be people just caught up in a lifestyle that says, Lord, I'm in this too far, I can't change. No, because when you do, redemption awaits you. The Father's arms embrace you. And he says, through people like that, I'll bring hope to many, many others. He did that through Rahab. He can do it through us. What do you think? Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Thank you. Would you bow your heads with us as we conclude? I don't know about you, but it's like that with me where I kind of slump in and start to lose the vibrancy of change. And if you're one of those and you'd say, Lord, would you just sort of change my heart a little bit? Help me to grow again, the vibrancy of transformation. Lord, would you help me in that? And would you raise a hand and you say, yeah, Lord, that's me. Would you help me, Lord? I don't want a flat line at all. Yeah. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I just need to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I come to church, but I really need to give my life fully to Jesus. I just got to step over the line and break the ties with the old. I need forgiveness and I need a new beginning. Jesus, would you be my Lord and Savior? Jesus, would you come into my life and change me from the inside out? I want to start afresh. If that's you, would you raise a hand? In doing so, you're saying, yeah, I want to start that relationship with Jesus. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, good, good, all right. You can put your hands down. Would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you? Would you, on either side, please? We're going to pray together, and then we're going to sing our final song. Would you pray this after me, all of us together? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me, make me new. I receive forgiveness that was bought for me on the cross of Jesus. And I choose to be made new and to follow you. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's our prayer. Thank you for embracing these who are brand new into the family of God. Guide them, we pray, as we become people being changed from glory to glory into your image. That's what redemption is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Jesus for the first time.
someone a hug on your way out.
Just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Rahab, Changing Midstream by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dale Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.